Good evening, Rabbeisai. Good evening. Guten Winter. Guten Winter. They say a story about the Heilige Tzanzerebbe. They say a beautiful story about the Heilige Tzanzerebbe. The Heilige Tzanzerebbe, the Divrei Chaim, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levoche, was a Tzadik as well as a Gewaltige Gaon. Tzanzerebbe. And the Tzanzerebbe apparently, after, it was a minig, by the Tzanzer Chassidim after Yom Tov, when he went there for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos. And after Sukkot, they would go back home to the villages where they came from, love the Tzanzer Chassidim. And there was a minig of Zechzegenen, they would go after Yom Tov, they would go to the Tzanzer Rebbe to, they wouldn't see him now for a year. Often they wouldn't see the Rebbe for another year. And they would just ask for bracha and say goodbye. So we went to the Tzanzer Rebbe and one Yid was asked, he went and he said goodbye to the Tzanzer Rebbe. And the Tzanzer Rebbe then asked him, and he said, how are you going to go back? Strange question for the Tzanzer Rebbe to ask. The Yid was asked, the Yid replies, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back the same way I came. And it's the same way I came. And then the Tzanzer Rebbe said, I can't believe it. Going back, said, and how did you come? He said, I had a Pesagoy, and with a horse wagon, and he took me. And I'm going back with the same guy. And the Tzanzer Rebbe said, I can't believe it. After Yom Tov, such heilige tag, such beautiful holy days, you're going back the same way you came. Yom Tov didn't give you anything, and you're going back with a goy. You're going back with a goy inside you. The goy inside you is still there. You're going back with that same goy inside you. You're going back home. What was the whole point of Yom Tov? That's the Heilige Tzanzer Rebbe said. Beautiful, such powerful, such a beautiful word by the Heilige Tzanzer Rebbe. Hopefully that we got something out of the Yom Tovim, something to internalize, and we can steig and move forward from the Heilige Tag. The program is as follows. We fell behind a little bit, obviously, over Yom Tov. So we are actually up to Simon Mem, and we started Siv Beis. I'd like to go over Siv Beis again, and which we are a little bit behind. I'm going to try to speed up a little bit to catch up a little bit. Because we have another few simonim left, we got with Hilchas Tefillin. So the current simon, and then simon me'alef, which speaks about carrying loads on your head when you're wearing tefillin. How often do you wear loads? Do you have sometimes loads on your head when you wear your tefillin? It's not that common anymore. So that's simon me'alef, simon me'beis, about shinui l'kedusha, which is this important concept there, ma'alim l'kedusha, and then simon me'gimel as well. But we're going to go a little bit faster until it reaches Simon Mem Vav. Simon Vav is a very big beginning. That's the beginning of Hilchas Birkas HaShachar, which I hope that we're going to, it's a few Simon, but I hope to reach maybe next week, maybe end of next week, maybe we'll reach Birkas HaShachar, which is the beginning of Halachas of Birkas HaShachar, the Brochas, you know, and we'll carry on then from Halachas of Shachas. So that's the program, and so you'll notice I'm going to go a little bit fast, although there is important halachas there, but just in order to keep up with it, with the schedule of the issue. Okay, so Simon Mem Siv Beis, we started the Seif, and there is really important concepts there, but let's recap again. Beis Sheish Boi Tefillin, a house which has tefillin in it. And it doesn't really necessarily mean a house, it actually refers to a room. A room which has tefillin in it. So these are room that we have tefillin in that room. Also, leshamish b'mitosoi, relations are also. And we learned Mishnah Berurah says not only relations, but in fact, also any lasis tzrochov to use it. There wouldn't be a bathroom to use allowed to have a bathroom and have a tefillin there. Lasis tzrochov. So we spoke about nappies, which would be a problem. Lasis tzrochov. We both see the same. We're going to see what the halachas is. Also, the shamash b'mitosa ad she'etziyom, until you take the tefillin out. Alternatively, shanichom beklib toich kli. That's the concept. Although put it in a kli betoich kli. If you were to put the tefillin in a kli betoich kli, in a kli which is in another kli, then it's permitted. Yeah.
You've answered what I was going to say.
Ah, good. Kli betoich kli is permitted. Condition number one is that the kli, the second kli, must not be specifically designated for it. If it's specially designated for the tefillin, then it's not considered the kli. If it's specially designed for the tefillin, then it's not considered a kli. It's not going to help as a kli b'toich kli. If both are not, then it's okay. So we're learning now over here, the rule is that if you have tefillin, which is in a room, which is not allowed to be in that room, then you either have to take the tefillin out, or you could to put it in the kli besoich kli. Yeah.
Is the plastic on top of the...
Very good, very good, very good. The answer is yes. No, that's fine. That's fine. Now, there is many applications to this, and we won't be able to go into much detail, but the halacha that we're learning now is that we need to be careful when it comes to presence of tefillin in a room which is not appropriate. We need to realize that they need to be either be taken out or kli besoich kli. I want to emphasize, just to avoid confusion, because there is another siman later which discusses the performing of mitzvahs in such a room. So that's much more severe. I'm not referring to if you want to learn Torah or daven. In fact, yeah, davening is the best example. Then there's other halachas. You can't daven. It won't help a kli besoich kli when you want to daven there or you want to learn Torah there. That's not going to help necessarily. It's a different set of halachas. What we are talking now over here is the halachas of just having, for instance, a nappy in a room and you want to have tefillin there. Is that a problem or not? And we learned that Sforim is in the same category. It's not just Tefillin, it's also Sforim. And you need to have a Kli, Besoich Kli. Right. Now, an important point which was mentioned, and in Siman Reish Mem is mentioned as well, that if it's in a different room, then it's fine even if the door is not closed. So, say for argument's sake, you have a toilet right next, oh, it's not a good example. But if you have, it's a different room, you've got Sforim in one room, and you want to use it for an inappropriate purpose. So if it's in a different room, I think you mentioned that. That's mentioned in the regime. Even if the door is not closed, it's fine. What was the example that you mentioned?
Like a conservatory.
That's right. Like a conservatory, and it's being used for, let's say there's nappies there, whatever it may be, and you have sforium on the door, next door, in just the room which is next to it. So you don't actually physically need to close the doors because it's a different room. So different room, that's already fair, that's already fine according to the Mishneh Berurah in Siman Reish Mem. Yeah. That's fine if it's considered if it's considered a different room. If it's just considered a different room, that's fine. Now, I'm going to mention, the Mishneh Berurah doesn't mention it here, but I feel it's very important, the Chiddush of the Achronim, and I'm not going to go into detail, but I just feel it's really important to mention that. There's the Mishneh Berurah later in Siman Mem Gimel mentions an interesting Shaila. The Mishneh Berurah mentions, it's a Mogen Avraham. Mem Gimel, I think it's if cotton, Yutes Chof. It's mentioned, it's a Mogen Avraham, which actually mentions the Gemara. Gemara mentions, what's the halach? Mogen Avraham mentions, Mishneh Berurah as well mentions, what's the halach if somebody passes, he walks past an area, in previous generations, people used to go to shul, and used to go to shul wearing the tefillin. And they wore tefillin when they were going to shul. And imagine nowadays, there's not this issue, not so relevant anymore, but you'd go in an area which would be, people, the toilets weren't in the house, they were outside, you'd have to go past such an area. What are you going to do? You're wearing your tefillin, you're passing such an area. What's the halacha then? So interestingly, the Mogen Avraham paskens, Mishneh Berurah paskens, that if you haven't got a choice, you can just cover with your hand, you can cover the tefillin as much as possible, and you walk past. Now, based on what we're learning now, this wouldn't be sufficient, because that's not a kli besoich kli. Pardon?
It's not biased.
Right, and therefore, it's more lenient. Right, I hear what you're saying. Lemaisa, we would have assumed, maybe, that you need a kli besoich kli. That is certainly not enough to cover your tefillin with your hand. You need to cover them double, kli besoich kli, at the very least, would have thought. But the chiddush is that actually, no, it's fair enough, you can just walk around, but yeah, that, and cover it with your hand. How can that be? How does that fit with our halachas that we're learning now? That you need to put the tefillin in a kli besoich kli. The answer that Achronim suggests, Mishnevu doesn't mention it here, but that's the consensus of many Achronim. There are Cholkim, but many Achronim, they're mechadish for me a very great chesh. Did you hear the kasha? Yeah, how does that make sense? How can you walk past an area by just covering your tefillin? Surely you have to put them in a klipus or a kli. The answer that some Achronim are mechadish, and Rafalk writes this in his sefer and other Achronim as well, they write, contemporary Poskim write, that is a difference between something which is an established area, which is inappropriate for tefillin, and it's something which is not derech arai. If you're just there once off, just for quick, for just arai, it's not permanent, then that's fine and the halachas are more lenient. Therefore he says, if you're walking past, it's not a fixed thing. You're just walking past for a minute. Even if you are walking there every day, it's not a fixed thing. It's not a fixed place. It's just walking past. And therefore, the tefillin is not in a fixed. And therefore, he says that's more lenient than you don't need the kli b'sirchli. If that's true, Rabbi, so what would be the halacha if somebody wants to change a nappy? And the reason I'm mentioning, because it's really relevant. Someone wants to change a nappy in an area like where there's many sforim. And we learned, Mishnah Berurah says that a sefer is the same halacha as in tefillin. So don't tell me that sforim are different, sforim are more lenient. Yes, put your tefillin away. Sforim is more lenient. That's not true because Mishnah Berurah doesn't pass. Mishnah Berurah passes the same halacha applies. Sforim and tefillin. So what are you going to do? You want to change a nappy in a room where they sforim. What are you going to do? Yeah.
One cover should be enough.
Why is that?
Oh,
very good. So according to that chiddush, which is based on the Morgan Avraham and the Gemara, according to that, and I'm emphasizing, there is chokim on that, but according to that mahalach, he would be okay. It's not a fixed thing, you just once off changing a nappy there, you just once off doing something, that's fine. However, if you have a room where you're always going to change, please excuse me, ma'am, but if it's a room that you're always going to change nappies, the kids, the baby's bedroom or whatever, and that's where you're constantly changing, and you want to keep a few sforim there, there's no space downstairs, you want to keep a few sforim there, would you be allowed to do that? Yeah, that you wouldn't, because that would be considered the kavodiga purpose, and that would be also according to that mahalach. So I just want to share this with you because as we're learning the halach of this seif, it's maybe important to mention that Morgan Avon, which is mentioned later. Yeah, that's fine. The Mishnah Berurah does mention, that's the consensus of the poskim, that its cover is not considered kli b'sirch kli. There are achronim who actually make it, but that's Mishnah Berurah doesn't. But a box, yeah, would be fine. So there are people who attack a makbet that keep them in the boxes. Yeah. I also want to mention that my Zayd, the Heilige Chavas Yoyer, he is actually makel b'mokam atchak, and the Poskim will mention it now, that the Poskim will mention it, even the Mishnah Berurah mentions it a little bit, that with regards to Sforim, we know that the contemporary Sforim, of course, very different than the Sforim hundreds of years ago. Because Sforim in previous generations had more Kedusha, they were handwritten, so there was much more Kedusha in it. Nowadays they are printed, and therefore there's less Kedusha. Now it's true that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't paskin that way. Mishnah Berurah holds that it's got the same Kedusha as to whether it's handwritten or whether it's printed. They've got the same Kedusha, and that's generally how we paskin. But it's good to know that there are Achronim or Amekil who hold that printed Sforim have got less Kedusha. Rav Ozna also speaks about it. But there is a bit of discussion. You mean about language, or what are you referring to? Right. There's probably a drop more lenient. You're right. It's probably more for leniency. Right. Okay. That's the halacha with regards to Kli b'sirch kli, but it is a very big discussion. We'll talk about it a little bit more in Mitzshem when we get to. We'll talk more about it in Mitzshem at a later stage. Right. Continues the Shulchan Aruch in Tziv. Gimel afilu laniach kli b'sirch kli osu lanichom tachas ma'galoisav. He said it doesn't always help necessarily to put on the tefillin in a kli b'sirch kli. It doesn't necessarily help because if you want to put them. That if you want to put the tefillin under, you have lacking a lack of space, and you want to put them in your bed, and not just down in your bed, you want to put them under next to your feet in your bed, you're really lacking space. Then he says, that's so disrespectful, that you can't put the tefillin in your bed, tachas magaloisav, under your feet. So find yourself a more appropriate place than keeping that tefillin in your bed next to your feet. He says, even if it's kli b'soich kli, it's inappropriate. Mishnah Berurah says in Sefkot and Tess, shehu gam kenderech b'zoin, it's inappropriate. Also, also, don't put them on your head. It's also inappropriate. Can I get roishoy next to your head? It's inappropriate. Afilu bekli besoich kli. So yes, kli besoich kli. It's inappropriate. Not next to your feet. Not next to your head either. It's inappropriate. It's considered derech bizoin. Vafilu en ishtoy imoy. It doesn't make a difference. Ishtoy imoy or not. She's with or she's not. Aval shloy keneged roishoy. But if it's not next to the head, it's just on the side. Imen ishtoy imoy muta. Wife is not imoy muta. It's permitted. Vim ishtoy imoy tzarech kli besoich kli. If ishtoy imoy, then kli besoich kli is necessary. Right. Okay. Siv dalet and hey and vav. Please allow me just to move on to Sif Ches, which is very important halacha, because there's important Shulchan Shleimer here. Sif Ches. Hanichnas lesudas keva. What about, we have to remember that in previous generations, people used to wear tefillin the entire day. They wore tefillin the entire day. So what happens if he's about to eat? Does he need to take his tefillin off when he's about to eat? Or can he keep the tefillin on? So Shulchan Aruch paskens, hanichnas lesudas keva. When a person is about to go and eat, and he's wearing his tefillin, chol, he needs to put his tefillin off. Umenichom al ha-shulchan, and he puts them on the table. Adzman brochon till he benches. V'choizen, he returns umenichom, and he puts them back on. Avalachilas harai, but if it's just for a short, a snack, ain't so lechol, you don't need to take your tefillin off. Rabbi Sai, I'll tell you when this is very relevant, and we're going to see an important Shulchan Shleimer. What's your opinion, Rabbi Sai, when it comes to Erev Pesach, Tanes Bechoyrim, and there is a Siyum after Davening? Who's a Bechoy here, Rabbi Sai? Who needs to join the Siyum? Oh, Baruch Hashem, can I know it? And you want to, and people are still wearing the Tanes and tefillin, there's a Siyum, and now you want to join for the Siyum. Do you need to take your tefillin off, or can you just have the, can you just join the Siyum? Can you just eat something whilst you're wearing your tefillin? Do you need to take them off or can you keep them back on?
All right.
So you say, based on what we're learning now, you can keep the tefillin on. Keep them on.
It's
a Siyum. Say there's something kva about it. Yeah? Does that make it kva, the fact you're doing it every year? Okay, this is very relevant.
Depends what they serve.
Depends what it is.
Or
right? Yeah, Pesach is always a bit of a struggle to get something together, yeah? But, okay, let's see what the Mishnah Berurah is. Says the Mishnah Berurah as follows. So what we learn now in the Shulchan Aruch is, again, Hanichnas l'sudas kva. If it's l'sudas kva, if it's a proper meal, Chol tzon, you need to take them off. U'menichem al-shulchan, you put the tefillin on the table. Adzman brach until you bench. V'choizem, and then when you're about to bench, you put them back on. Aval, however, l'achilas aray, when it's just a snack, ain't sorry, the cholzon, you can keep eating for a snack. Now the Mishnah Berurah said in Sifkot Nuzayin, why is it that we need to take the tefillin off in the first place? Why is that? Why do you need to take your tefillin off? Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Nuzayin, because people may get drunk whilst they're eating, they scan a bit tefillin off, and it's inappropriate, it's embarrassing, it's totally inappropriate to wear the tefillin. And you know, in a shape of shikets, they're very, very disrespectful. It's inappropriate. Therefore, we're always concerned. Maybe it's going to have one cup too much, and therefore, keep them, take them off when you're eating. Just keep the tefillin away. Yeah. Yeah, but we have to remember that in previous generations there was no drink besides water and wine. That's what they would drink during a meal. Yeah, you're saying that nowadays, if it's sure that. Right. Yeah, I see that it sounds like it was more interesting. It sounds like the chashash of Hesed Chadas was less likely than shikras. It's a very beautiful horror. Very stark horror. Yeah. Very stark horror. Very stark horror. Yeah, Sefkot Nutes. Now, says the Mishnah Berurah in Sefkot Nutes, the Shulchan Shloimeh. And that we need to remember. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Nutes, Avol. But Sefer Shulchan Shloimeh Mistapek. The Sefer Shulchan Shloimeh has a doubt. The Efsha, it could be, the Zehu Tafke Mishem Enichom Kol Hayom. So that we allowed to take, to keep the tefillin on for a snack, that could be, that was only for generations and for years that people used to wear the tefillin throughout the entire day. So there, we're saying, if you're having a snack, keep your tefillin on. However, aval, but, loy, not, mishedarku laniach b'shas kiyah shema tefillah. Us that only wear the tefillin for kiyah shema and for that shmoyne esa, we're wearing it for such a little time, so then it's not appropriate. We are makbid on a certain kedush on it. We don't wear it the entire day. So why do you need to have a snack with the tefillin? Why do you have to have a snack with the tefillin? You might as well wait 10 minutes, take them off, and why? Now suddenly you're so makbid. You know, we're anyway wearing it for a limited amount of time. So you can have plenty of time to have a snack without the tefillin. So why do you daf benani to have the snack when you're wearing your tefillin? So therefore, Kodesh Shulchan Shlomo comes out that is mistapek, and it sounds like Mishneh Berurah has a netir to be machmir. It sounds like he brings it down, he quotes it in a he's not really paskening straight up, but it sounds like he's got a slight netir towards machmir. So according to the Shulchan Shloimeh, and maybe the Mishneh Berurah sounds a little bit like that one shouldn't have snack, one shouldn't have ara echilas ara with the tefillin on.
Yes, so it sounds you have in show after show we have a l'chaim. So basically, one should take tefillin on.
What do you think? So it's very much based on this Shulchan Shloimeh. It's very much based on the Shulchan Shloimeh. And it sounds like, the Mishneh Berurah doesn't say it's also, but it's certainly true to say that it's appropriate to take the tefillin off. It's definitely, it's not also, because the literal understanding of the Shulchan Aruch is that you can have an arai, it's definitely an arai, it's a snack, and therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it would be okay. Shulchan Shloimeh says that was only true when people wore tefillin the entire day. Now that we are having tefillin only for davening, it's better to take them off. So it's very much based on that. Yeah.
What about sometimes when you have a bris after davening in the morning? Should you take the tefillin off before the bris?
That's a good question. You're talking about the right.
Sure,
yeah. So with the bris, it's an interesting, very interesting shaila about bris. Because there is actually a strong argument that one should dafke have tefillin on during a bris, because as the Gemara says, that's called an ois, a sign, like an ois, it's a sign between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and a bris is tefillin is an ois between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and similarly bris is also a sign between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Gemara says it makes sense to have them together, to have bris whilst wearing the tefillin. However, when it comes to the eating, this eating aspect will be again the same shayla as the Shulchan Shloimeh over here, and according to Shulchan Shloimeh, it's better to take them off when it comes to the snack afterwards. So even if one does keep the tefillin on afterwards, which there might be a strong argument to keep the tefillin on, nevertheless, for the snack after, for the lechaim afterwards, one should try to take them off according to Shulchan Shloimeh. Yeah. Good question. Good question. It's a very, very interesting question. Rabbi Sandwich wants to know, a cup of water, is that considered arai? Very interesting, Shailen. Yeah, that's the nice how to put, yeah. Right, yeah. So, although there's a shtickle machloikis about this, because Mishneh Berurah Sadaj is pointing out in Sifkot and Chof, let's read it inside. Arai mire de shira achilas arai kebeitza, v'chedin suke b'sim tof resh lametes. There is a bit of controversy within the Achroinim that discuss what is exactly considered achilas arai. What is a snack? So, how do you define a snack? So the Mishneh Berurah paskens like the Achronim that it's got to do with the with the same halachas that we just was relevant last week, the halachas of sukkah, exactly the same halachas. And what is considered arai, they're allowed to have out of the sukkah maker aden, that was because of arai here as well. That's on the Mishneh Berurah paskens. There are chaylkim, but that's on the Mishneh Berurah paskens. Based on that, water would be okay. Lemaisa, it's an interesting shaila. I saw that some poskim are, a lot of poskim are mekel taka. I saw poskim speak about water, and said it might be okay. I heard that one of the gdolim, I forgot who now, that they occasionally needed to have, it's interesting, what do we think about this? He sometimes was a bit faint, and he needed to have a cup of water. This is a shmu I heard, I don't know if it's true, one of the gdolim. And when he needed to have a cup of water, it was under extreme, it was old and frail, and sometimes he just felt a bit faint. He then, before he had a cup of water, he used to move his tefillin to make it in a way that is not fulfilling the mitzvah when he's doing that. What do you think about that, Rabbi Isai? When he needed to have that cup of water, he would move it in a way that is not actually fulfilling the mitzvah. I'm not sure to what extent it would help. What do you think about this? Right. I hear that. But maybe he argues that since you're not fulfilling the mitzvah, you know, it's not bizarre. It's only bizarre if you fulfill the mitzvah, as long as you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. I hear. I mean, Mishnah doesn't mention anything of the sort, so maybe he's going to give halach, I'm not sure. But yes, so water is maybe a little bit more lenient. But then again, when it comes to Shulchan Shlomo's argument, one could tell that water would be in the same category as well. Yeah. I'm not sure. That weiß ich nicht. I don't know. Yeah. It's a very, very nice diuk. But the Shulchan Shlomo says, the Shulchan Shlomo is talking about the person wearing it. He's not talking about the situation of eating. He's talking about the person wearing it. We are nowadays people who wear it only for davening. So it's not about the situation, it's about what kind of people we are. And we are people, do you hear that? Is that, yeah? He says, the Efshah Shu Dafke Misha Menichon Kolayim, Avalosh Misha Darkul Nyech Beshaz Kirshma Vitzvila. That's what it sounds like, yeah.
We do wear more
than sufficient. The Shulchan Shlomo does mean davening, though. It does mean davening, yeah. It's a quote, it means davening. It means davening. Yeah. I'm not sure though what happens if somebody, Mishnah Berurah mentioned earlier, is somebody who daven.
He learns
for another half an hour or something. Yeah, maybe that would be a bit different. Okay, fine. Okay, Beseda. Fine, we'll carry on to Mitzvah tomorrow. Simam Aleph.